question for you. Does your home bring you joy? You may be thinking, well, when my spouse and our children get along beautifully, sure, but have you considered that even the design of your home plays into how you feel? Welcome into another edition of the How Very Human Sciences podcast, an opportunity to hear from alumni and industry leaders who share their insight to inspire the students and new graduates of today. Our special guest today is an industry leader and an interior design graduate from the Auburn University College of Human Sciences, who is here to visit with our students and give back mentoring today. So, Ashley Gilbreth, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Thank you.
How does it feel to be back on the campus here at Auburn?
It feels amazing. Very sentimental in a lot of ways. And also, my goodness gracious, this place is so different.
Well, we're sitting in the Heyday podcast studio. So, we're right in the middle of the Heyday market. And Ashley, when you walked in, you said, wait a minute, I didn't have this when I was
this when we were here. This is incredible. It's great.
The general reaction that we get. And people ask, can I come back to college again?
Right.
When they say this, see this in the entire Rain Center as well, which you'll see in just a bit. But let me tell our listeners a little bit about you. Okay. Ashley, we are so proud to call you one of our own, an Auburn University interior design alumna. And today, you lead a 15-member team in a high-end residential design business, Ashley Gilbreth Interior Designs, a business you opened in 2008. And most recently, you are a best-selling author with the beautiful coffee table book, The Joy of Home. And there's more. You are a wife and mom to three adorable children. You're a little bit busy.
We got a lot going on.
Yes.
We got a lot going on.
You
yes,
sure
we
do. Well, let's start at the beginning. Tell us about your foundation for this remarkable career in interior design. How did you choose the College of Human Sciences at Auburn? And let me take it back a little further, too. When did you realize this is what you wanted to study?
That's such a good question. Mm-hmm. I think you know when you're a child that you're creative, whether you want to know or not. I think you know that you are. I am incredibly dyslexic, and I can draw a picture for days, but do not make me read a book, which is really funny because now I've written a book, which is kind of ironic. But so I've known since I was little, you know, pictures are fun, and I can do that all day long. It was one of my strengths. My younger sister and I would play house, and she would take care of the baby dolls, and I would go to work, and I would draw house plans. I didn't even know what house plans were, but I had a lot of fun picturing it. So that was way back when. I grew up in Baton Rouge. At the time, LSU was the number one party school, and my mom is from Alabama and said, you know, over my dead body, you're not going to go there. So not because we don't love LSU, but she just thought, you know, you'd have way too much fun.
Yes.
So instead, Auburn had a wonderful architectural program, and that's what I knew as a little kid. And so I thought that's where I wanted to be. So I started out on the path for architecture and doing all of those beginning classes, and got into maybe my second year, and just kept on saying, guys, when did we talk about the inside? And somebody very sweetly said, I think you belong in Spital Hall and not in Dudley. And I was like, well, direct me to that building, please.
Right now.
So all that to say, we kind of switched paths and picked up from architecture where that left off into interiors and really never looked back.
Well, and I love that you leaned into your strength. And obviously your parents probably helped you do that too, of knowing I don't like to read, but here's what I can do. How inspiring for others to hear this. Was that a difficult road for a while?
You know, I think I credit the struggles that anybody has are the places that I think you end up finding a real amount of strength. And reading was just not my jam. I mean, still today, it's not my thing. It's just not my favorite thing. I'm not good at it. It's just not my, even reading books to my children, it's funny. I will see the word saw and say was, or, you know,
really?
You just change things around. It's funny to let them correct you. And you just have to laugh it off, but it is what it is. So I think you start to figure out what you are good at. And being creative is such a broad range of, it can be applied to really to anything. And it's just being able to think outside the box a little bit. And when you're not good at one thing, you figure out, okay, what can I prove myself in? Right. And so really from that point, I'm the oldest out of three at my house growing up. And so I think my mom for the longest time was like, what do I do with you? And my dad just kind of said, you know, it's okay. You can laugh at yourself. You can draw a picture. You've got other strengths. You've got friends. You're fine. Don't worry about it. But you hold on to the thing that you can do well. Yes. Because that's what makes you, you know, find worth in a lot of ways.
Well, you obviously found your calling right here. So give us an idea of your career path for any soon-to-be graduate listening right now, or those new in the working world right now. Where did life take you right out of Auburn?
So my parents were big on exposure. I was born in California. My mom traveled the world for 18 years. She was a stewardess for Pan Am, and so she was big on exposure. And so when I was still in Auburn, it was, I think, my junior year, she said, you know, you gotta get out. It's the summer. You can't just have a normal job. You got to go do something. And so she wanted me to go to California because that was her known spot. And, of course, because that's what she wanted me to do, I was like, well, I'm not going to do that. So instead, I went to New York. And so it started really being, I think exposure is really where I'm trying to go with this, exposing yourself to different atmospheres. I would have told you on day one that I wanted to do commercial design, and I liked the rules of it, the structure of it. Residential can be much more free-flowing and a bit more abstract sometimes. And so I really thought I wanted to do commercial until I just got kind of popped into some fun internships and good exposure. So I worked in New York for Keith Langham for a summer. I took classes at New York School of Interior Design. And honestly, just in the creative industry, the world of being visually stimulated by different things helps creativity so much. And if you're in the same surroundings, you don't get, I mean, you kind of tap out after a certain amount of time. So from school, I did the New York thing for a little bit. Met this Montgomery boy that I met in Auburn, and I really thought we'd go on to bigger, more fun cities. And instead, I was in Atlanta, and I did hospitality design in Atlanta. Sure that he would come over to Atlanta because it was closer to Montgomery, you know, at that point, but that didn't work. So did hospitality design, ended up getting engaged and coming back to Montgomery. Worked in a small residential company for just a minute or two that had a shop that I adored, and I honestly learned so much about people just from that different rule, you know, set of structure.
Right.
Went on from there to be part of a commercial office, thinking I need to do something different, only to leave that about a year later and come back and actually just start our own thing, and kind of jumped in head first and said, here we go, buckle up.
Okay, wow.
So exposed to lots of different elements, which I think is the most important part in this world. It's just really the exposure portion of it.
Exactly. Well, the exposure continues because right now you're in the middle of a book tour.
We are.
A busy book tour with your book, The Joy of Home. I love that name. What led you to write this book, Ashley, and what should the reader expect to discover through it?
That's a big question. So we wrote the book because I was taught in the very beginning of this career the importance of being able to represent your client in a true form. And I used to love picking up a magazine. I still do. And I can open up to a page and go, oh my gosh, this is, by looking at it, I can tell you this is exactly who did this space. And which I think is a fun thing to have as a takeaway. But I can remember very vividly a mentor of mine saying, that is awesome that you can open that and say exactly who the designer was. But wouldn't it be more awesome if you could say, that's who this client is?
Oh, wow.
And it needs to really show the client. Mm-hmm. Now, there's always going to be a trace of me or a trace of whoever helps the design along the way. But it really should influence who the client is. That's what should influence you. So the book came from putting together a mixture of work from different client backgrounds to different client lifestyles to vacation homes to lake homes to different ages of client, all the things, to really show our work where there should be a common thread through it, but they're very different pieces, mm-hmm. which I think mm-hmm. is a lot of fun.
Yes.
And it's also fun, too, in the book process to be able to tell kind of where your heart and soul sneaks into these projects along the way. So that was the reasoning for it.
Okay.
And I think it was a very fast-paced, put it together, you know, period of time, but we're excited with how it turned out.
Well, to give our listeners a better understanding of sort of your design philosophy, mm-hmm. I guess I could call it, I'm going to read a few quick lines off of your website. We set the stage for memories. We love people and bringing family together. It is about carving out your own piece of hallowed ground in this beautiful life. And see, I love all of this because sometimes a perfectly designed home interior shows no sign of life, no personal photos or a favorite pillow. I might say, I could raise my hand that friends have gotten on me to say, get this out of here, Kim. We want to make it clean. But I love that you work to achieve a gorgeous space that reveals your client does in fact live there. How do you do that?
I think a lot of it is, number one, getting to know them very well, for starters, and asking lots of questions. And then the next portion of it is, we layer things, because that's what life is about, really. I mean, the way you dress yourself, or the way that you live in a house, you gather things over time and they kind of become part of your space. So I think in terms of making it feel lived in, we focus a lot on antiques, not because I just have this antique obsession, but honestly, but because they give you a sense of comfort. They've already been beat up a little bit. They've already been scratched. They've been loved on. They can tell a story. And so you're not afraid to put your cup down if you need to, or if you have a little one that decides to, you know, color their coloring book and they get out of the lines, and it's okay. They can stand a little bit of a beating, and it just makes it a bit more relaxing, a bit more take your shoes off, prop your feet up if you want to, and hang out. And plus, I live with a lot of little people, and a dog and a cat and a dirty husband. Of course, I'm not dirty at all. It's just him. I'm teasing. But, you know, it's real life. And you want to be able to open the doors, especially in a Southern home. I think in any home, but I think the South is known for being very hospitable. You want to be able to open someone's front door and feel like you are welcomed in every room of the house. There should never be a space that's like, oh, don't touch me. Don't sit here. Don't go in that room. And this is off limits to the little people. Like, these are my little people, and they should not be afraid to do anything anywhere.
Yes. I'll have a confession. When we moved to Auburn, and I got a little bit of help in decorating the home, and my living room was turning really white, cream, everywhere you looked, and I proclaimed, from now on, you only drink water in this room. Well, that quickly changed. Uh-huh. You know, we changed the colors up a bit. Thankfully, the material can take a little bit of a beating, but I didn't like that feeling when I was having to say, let's restrict what happens right here in this room. So I completely understand.
And it's hard. It's about mixing really lots of different things to making it feel loved on. Mm-hmm. And we live in a good spot in time where I think there's a lot of treated fabrics that you can still pull off a white every now and then and still have it be okay.
Yes. Well, tell me this. Is there a new hot next thing, you know, a feature in design, whether it's solids or patterns or a certain color?
You know, that is such a loaded question often. I'm sure that there probably is, and I'm sure there's probably a million answers to that, but I'm going to kind of go the opposite of that answer, that I think this industry is getting to a point where editing is important. We have been almost like drinking from the water hose with imagery and Pinterest and Instagram and all of the images. And I am just like everyone else, I'm thinking that I like lots of different things. And when you try to put 10 different styles in one room, you have exactly that.
Right.
You wouldn't dress yourself with 10 different looks at one time, which you're dressing a room very similarly. So I would like to think that the trend is becoming that we are beginning to edit and get down to a space where you're very intentional with your purchases, you're intentional with what you see, and there's always the ability to add on. I mean, like if you're going to wear the same outfit to lunch that you're going to wear to dinner, well, you can throw on some great earrings and a great pair of shoes and maybe a scarf, and you can step it up a level. Yes. So it's the same element when you're dressing your room. It's just a matter of editing it down so that you have the ability to do that when you want to.
Okay.
So I'm kind of going the opposite of a trend. I'm going us to go a little bit more a little bit more timeless and classic, but that would be my hope.
Okay, I like that a lot. Well, Ashley's passion and talent and eye for design is award-winning. A two-time recipient of the Institute of Classical Architecture and Arts coveted, and forgive me if I don't say this correctly, Schutz Award?
Yeah, the Schutzy Award. Yes,
Schutzy that's Award. It. Schutzy Award. Also nominated for Southeast Designer of the Year. So something our students often ask about it is that word balance. It's a big word, isn't it? All through your life, I'll say, how do you manage a thriving interior design career along with being an author with family and personal wellness?
When somebody figures that out, they need to tell me how to do
it. I know.
You know, I think we hired a business consultant several years ago. We hired Sean Lowe, and that was one of the biggest kind of career-changing self-investment moments for me career-wise, because you get on this hamster wheel, as much as I hate to refer to it as that, but you can't really get off to even figure out which way the light is coming from or if there even is a light to get you out of the tunnel. And it's a lot, and it all comes at you really fast. And I think in this industry, you're a pleaser. I mean, you get so much joy out of pleasing others that you don't ever want to have to say no or turn away, but it's just about making really smart decisions and understanding if you can find the 30 seconds to pull back. And what does this decision of you saying yes to this project actually really mean? And kind of really valuing your time, valuing your people. Somebody told me several years ago, how much would you spend to buy 1 hour of time with your three little people?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big question.
Priceless,
yeah,
right?
I mean, it really is. And he said, now, whatever that amount is, because $10 means one thing to me and one thing to you and one thing to the next person. Whatever that amount of money is, now you take that times 10. And that's what you need to charge hourly because you don't get this time back. There'll be another client, there'll be another project. But until, you know, just because something comes easy to me as a creative does not mean that it comes easy to the next person. So where I tend to undervalue it because it's really easy for me to do, we sell ourselves very short.
Yeah, that makes sense. Someone told me once when it comes to balance, if you never say no, what is the value of your yes?
Yes, that's a great way to say that.
Yes, I think about it pretty often.
Yes, that's a great one. I need to write that one down.
Yes.
That's great. Yeah.
You know, this college thing, it is such a formative time in our lives, and yet it's really a blink on the radar of life. It is so quick. So let me ask you this. Is there anything about your time as a student at Auburn that you are so thankful you took advantage of, or something you wish you had done during your time here that you can share with students listening right now? Like, don't miss this, students.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. And I'm speaking from the mom perspective now because I'm more to that stage than I am in the college stage. But my mom pushed us a lot in high school to be involved in so many different things. And I think when I got to college and she was 6 hours away from me, I was like, I can take a breath. But yes. I should have listened to her more, and I should have gotten more exposed. I think when you have those opportunities, you don't realize the fact that the time you have in college is unlike any other literal meaning of the word time. I mean, once you're out, you don't have that time anymore. So I would say I would have taken advantage of probably more things that were set before me. The summer internships, hold on to those tight. I mean, that is not a time to play. That is a time to get out of town, borrow the money to go and do it. It doesn't matter, but get out. Get out. Not that I'm saying get out of Auburn. I loved being here every minute of it, but just expose yourself to something very, very different. And don't do residential interior design every single summer. Do commercial. Figure out if you love it or don't like it. Do hospitality. Do something different with a different. You will learn more in those 3 months than you'll probably learn in a whole year under just one office.
Yeah. Exposure, doors opening.
Absolutely. You know, meet the people, get out there, go do the thing. Even if, I will say, I think sometimes you find the most benefit out of the things you absolutely do not want to do.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And it's just a matter of putting a smile on your face and going and doing it, realizing that, okay, God had you there for a reason.
Yeah. Okay. One last question. Very serious. So brace yourself. Okay. Favorite place to eat in Auburn as a student, and that would have been mid-2000s, and favorite place today?
Amsterdam's all day long, the turkey wrap with honey mustard, which I think anybody of my age would say the same thing. and the sweet potato chips. I mean, that's what we ate. I mean, for every meal. Every meal.
Addictive.
100%. I'm shocked that I had really any nutrition in my body because we ate it for literally every single meal. And it's still very much enjoy it today. I mean, it's funny. That's where my husband and I went on dates. That's where we went after chapter meetings. I mean, we had it forever. Favorite place in Auburn today? Let's see. Gosh, I love Acre. Acre's great.
Mm-hmm.
Love everything about it. And there's so many to choose from here. It's hard to say a favorite. I mean, gosh, this is such a different place than
it used
to be.
It's really grown into a foodie town.
Totally
hasn't
a foodie
it?
Town. Yes. And everything town. It's funny. We used to leave here and go to Montgomery to go shop when I was here because you couldn't buy much. And now I'm taking my 13-year-old from Montgomery to Auburn to shop because it's just such a different place.
Wow. Well, Coach Pearl would agree. You know, he calls us that everything school.
Yes, so. I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that all day long. All day long.
Well, Ashley Gilbreth, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us today and also to be here to encourage and mentor the students of today with all your time and insight. I know they're going to be so blessed.
That's our future. You're sweet. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Love being here. Thank you.
Well, be sure to go to ashleygilbreth.com to see Ashley and her team's work. That's easy to remember, ashleygilbreth.com. You can also learn more about her book and the book tour at the website as well. And for more on the nationally recognized interior design program in the College of Human Sciences and all this college has to offer, stop by humsci.auburn.edu. That is HUMSCI, short for Human Sciences, humesci.auburn.edu. For now, thank you for listening into the How Very Human Sciences podcast. Go out and create some joy in your home. Until next time, War Eagle.